Westwood.
This is Adam Virgo. This is John Curtis.
Hi, this is Stan Collymore.
And you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin, and joining me this week with Anthony Kendrick.
Hello.
You good?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Those who listen to the interview of Alan Tong knows I've got a tonsillitis, but I'm not better, so I should be able to get through this.
We'll do our best. I'll do some more of the talking if needs be.
Yeah. So, a few stories have caught my eye this week. Peter Cech and Gareth Barry have both won places in the most coveted Guinness World Book of Records for 2017. Cech got the most clean sheets in the Premier League, and Gareth Barry has most starts in the Premier League. So, well done to them. Yeah. New Cardiff City manager Neil Warnock has come out and said there's some aspects of modern football he doesn't like. He says he prefers players to, when they get off the book, to sign autographs rather than just walk past fans with their headphones in.
I saw that. It's kind of a nice thing for him to say, isn't it? He can't really. I guess he gets the fans on side. He's making it seem like he's getting them. But I don't know. Maybe he's a bit of an old school manager. He needs to get up to date with the new school. I don't know. But it's obviously, I think it's going to work for him at Cardiff. I think he's going to have a decent season. I know me and Nick discussed it in quite a bit of detail on the 72 show this week.
Yeah. And finally, Liverpool decided to impose a limit on how much their academy players will be paid. Do you want to have a guess what their limit is?
£1,000 a week.
They're imposing a maximum of £40,000 a year.
Not far off.
Yes.
Well, I wouldn't mind being on that if that's the maximum.
Yeah.
They had that striker leave last season, didn't they? I forgot his name, but he was a very highly rated striker. Left money. I don't know. I'd worry though that players would get, a 17-year-old would get his head turned by a bigger club.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a.
I'd love to build £40,000. 17, bloody hell.
I know. if you've got Everton offering you, £5,000 at 17 or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a good move, though. I like the principle of it. And if all the other teams were to follow, if all the teams did that, it'd be fantastic. But
that's probably a monthly wage at Chelsea, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
For 17-year-olds.
Because yeah. They've hit the glass ceiling at the under-21s, is it?
Yeah.
I saw something else about Liverpool this week. Them and Man United have issued a joint statement today about, because it's Liverpool United on Monday.
Big Red Monday or whatever it's called.
Yeah. But they were saying about last season how, because I was at one of the games in the Europa League at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
And there was quite a lot of chanting both ways, both Liverpool fans chanting about Munich and the United fans calling the Liverpool fans murderers about Hillsborough and all that. But I know there was a joint statement issued today, basically asking the fans, we're aware there's a rivalry, but any of that sort of chanting, and you're going to be kicked out straight away.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Sort of thing. So, I don't know.
Or whether it'll deter the hardcore, I don't know.
Well, the problem is if, you can kick out, one or two fans, but you can't kick out 20,000, and, it's extremely difficult to police. There's no way. In my opinion, there's no way they're going to stop it. There's just, they can appeal to the better nature, but at the end of the day, I don't think they're going to be able to kick out fans who do it.
It's one of the things the fans have to police themselves.
Yeah, definitely.
If you start getting looked down on by your own fans for doing things. It's...
Yeah, the problem is too many fans, I would say, enjoy it. I don't know if that's the right word, but they, get involved in it at the very least, because everyone around you is singing those sort of songs and, people just join in kind of mindlessly, I think.
Yeah. Alright, so it's time for the first round of some of the pitch.
Alright.
So Anthony's going first. So, because there's only two of us, Anthony's done a question for me, and I've done a question for him. So last week, The football writers at the Telegraph compiled a list of the top 50, of the 50 most powerful people in English football. On the list, there were six current Premier League players. I want you to name five of them.
Okay, so the five most powerful people, players in current Premier League players in English football.
Yeah.
Okay.
According to the football writers at the Telegraph.
Okay, I'm sure they know what they're talking about. I guess the obvious one you've got to say straight away, Wayne Rooney.
Wayne Rooney, yeah, he was number 12 on the list.
Okay. Who else is quite... did you specify English players or just players?
Just current Premier League players.
Okay. Kompany?
No.
No. Alright.
Three more guesses.
Sorry?
Three more guesses.
Yeah. It's a difficult question, this. It depends what sort of authority you're thinking. Aiden Hazard?
Nope.
No. Okay. It's a difficult question. I was thinking with Hazard and FIFA and all that, it might be for young people.
I always went with managers, but I thought it would have been too easy. Maybe I should have this.
I reckon I could have done managers, probably reeled them off pretty quick.
Yeah, but there's only 20 of them. So.
Jordan Henderson.
Nope. Last guess.
This isn't going very well.
Closer to home. So.
I don't know, this is really difficult.
Yes, so that's two. He was number 31. Right, so you could have had. So you got two.
Was Jamie Vardy? It's just come to me now.
No. So number 12 was Wayne Rooney. Number 22 was Zlatan Ibrahimovic. 27 was Paul Pogba. 31 was Harry Kane. 38 was Rashford.
Oh, right, wow,
and then,
Rashford.
48 was Ozil. So I have to beat two going into
Pogba. Pogba and Ibra were pretty obvious now I think about it, yeah. It was all going so well with Wayne Rooney at the start. Yeah, so two to beat. We'll come back to that later, I guess.
Yeah. Right, so Gareth Southgate oversaw England's 2-0 win over Malta and a disappointing 0-0 draw with Slovenia. What do you want to look at first? Do you want to look at the Wayne Rooney or do you want to review Southgate?
We'll talk about Wayne Rooney, yeah. So we didn't really do a performance of the week this week because it was internationals. So I put a poll on Twitter instead asking where Rooney should be when we call up the next squad.
Hmm.
So the four options I gave were in midfield, as a striker, on the bench, or leaving him at home.
Yeah.
So first, what do you think? What would you do with Rooney in the next squad?
I think he needs to be in the squad. I think it's purely for his experience. Even if he's not playing, I think being round the squad is a good thing. Because it's a very young squad. The team against Slovenia on Tuesday was a very young team.
No, I completely agree. I think he's got to be in the squad. However, I think you look at our striking options and Kane and Sturridge are better, and even Rashford is probably a better option at this moment.
I can't see him playing up front. Even though on Tuesday I might have brought him on for Sturridge, because Sturridge didn't do a thing. He wasn't in that formation. The striker needs to stay up front. That's all he needs to do. But every time Dele Alli got the ball, there's nobody in front of him. Sturridge is next to him.
Kane in the wrong decisions, I thought, when he got the ball. He didn't, I don't know, he just didn't find the right pass or shoot at the right... I just don't think he made the right decisions with the ball. But, yeah, anyway, I don't think Rooney would play up front. I think he's... Personally, I'd have either answered in midfield or on the bench. I think he's somewhere in between. I'm not sure. I think with his experience, he's obviously crucial, as you say. I think on balance, I'd have probably said in midfield. But according to Twitter, most people would leave him at home, 46%. And
so that's surprising.
29% would leave him on the bench. So only a quarter of people in our poll actually think he should be in the side. Yeah. So, yeah. To our listeners, Rooney shouldn't be there in the team.
I think it's a difficult one to because he's not playing at United. He's admitted himself he's not quick enough to play up front anymore. But if he's not playing in midfield at United, he's not going to get the experience of playing in midfield.
Well, this is
being an effective midfielder. So.
I think Southgate was pretty brave to drop him because for this game.
I think I read that was the first time he's ever been dropped. Every other time it's been because he's about to be suspended or. He had a niggle, but this time he's been first time he's been fully fit and dropped from England.
The thing is, though, is he could have quite easily just played him against Slovenia and then not played him in the next seven internationals and said, "Oh no, he's not been playing enough for United." Well, see what happens at United.
Yeah.
And made the decision, and he could have quite easily said, "Yeah, he's hardly played for United, so that's why I'm not playing him here." And everyone would have accepted that, or the other way around. You know, he's played well for United, he's been in their team, so I'm playing him here. You know, he could have had the decision almost made for him, but the fact he's dropped him, I think, is very brave. And I know people have criticised Southgate when he was appointed, saying he's too nice and all that. But I think he deserves credit for it myself for, you know, making a decision and going with it. Whether it's the right decision, I'm not sure, but the fact he's, you know, made one.
Do you think possibly long-term a return to Everton could be the best thing for Rooney?
I think
if he wants to play in midfield and he wants to be playing regularly.
I think at this moment I don't see him having to treat United beyond this season, to be honest. I don't know, you know, things can change in football, you know, Ibrahimovic could get injured or something and really get running the team, I don't know, but at this moment it's not looking good. And he's definitely not as good as he was. I think at Everton he'd get a chance, but again, the Everton side this season looks very good. It's really
improved. Oh, could he displace your favourite player?
I know. Well, he's already been displaced by their new signing, Idrissa Gueye, who's been really good. Mm. But
they do love an ex-United player at the Toffees, Phil Neville, Tim Howard.
Yeah. I'm sure if Rooney ever left United, that would be his first choice. Yeah. I don't know, I don't know if he'd want a role like in a, you know, somewhere like China or the US or whatever. I don't think he'd want to.
I think he's got a nice settled. He's got a young family, so staying in the Northwest would be probably a priority.
I think he'd just leave. I think it'd be Everton or no one if he left United.
Mm.
I think he'd just retire at, you know, young. But I don't know. See, he's taken it well, and I thought he might, he's obviously not happy, but he's taken it well. He's, you know, he's been, you know, grateful and admitted that he's not been as good as he was.
It's on the other side. How did you find the way England played under Southgate?
It's hard to judge because we played, you know, we played Malta and we sort of won the game, but it was a bit of a nothingy game, and it's, you know, Malta just defended, their keeper played well. You know, it's only 2-0 we won, and you'd expect, you know, a team like Spain or Germany would have absolutely, you know, annihilated them 7-8.
I think people were disappointed it wasn't 5 or 6-0, but it was probably just a professional performance. Get a couple of goals in early. Don't stress yourself if you've got another game on the Tuesday.
The problem is that sort of game is impossible to judge, I think.
Are all the multiplayers professional?
Possibly.
Because when usually when they have the small nations, they have the 11 of what their jobs are. I was like seeing that, so I was assuming. Because they usually mention, oh, he's the goalkeeper, he's a window cleaner.
Yeah. I don't think they're as bad as, you know, Andorra or San Marino or anyone like that. But, they're still not a team that we're ever going to get anything. So, yeah, I think that was okay. But moving on to the Slovenia game, which was actually more of a test for us, I thought... I don't know, the England were missing like a spark or something, but I don't think it's something you can blame Southgate for. I don't know, I thought Slovenia played very well and had, you know, had a couple of chances, and it was a few individual mistakes for England which really were the problem, especially in defence, you know, giving the ball up rather than, you know, Southgate setting the team up incorrectly, I think, and Sturridge, as we've said, making the wrong decisions. So I don't know, I'm basically avoiding the question, because that's genuinely mine.
Well, I think if we had Kane up front instead of Sturridge, yeah, would have actually stood up front, and him and Dali Ali have a decent partnership between them. And so,
yeah.
Was there any bright sparks coming out of it? I think Jesse Lingard had two decent games.
I think Rashford as well. I don't want to be too United biased, but I think Rashford needs more time in the England team. I think he was very good in the small amount of time he had. He sort of, you know, he was running good movement. He's got very good movement, and he's fast. He wants to take people on, and I hope he gets some starts. And I hope he gets more game time, because he's not had enough, I think. Southgate, there was a comment he made, and I'd be interested to know what you think as well. He said that he's inherited a mess on, you know, of an England side. So I think there's two points to that. Two ways you can critique what he's saying, if you like. Personally, I think it's a bit unfair him saying he's took over a mess. I think he's being a bit unfair on the squad. I think I don't think they're in the best way, but I think it's a bit harsh to call them a mess. So I think it's wrong in that context. But the other context is saying it's the media outwardly. I didn't like the fact he's come out and said I've got a mess of a squad here. What must you think as a player in that? Thinking, you know, my manager thinks we're all, you know, a joke, basically. You know, I think it's a bit. I didn't like that comment. Which he made. I don't know if you've got any thoughts either way on it.
Sounds like a comment you make if you're trying to take the pressure off yourself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Another thing that jumped out about the England game, Roberto Mancini was at the game against Malta. So all the press started jumping on that he's interested in being the next England manager.
he was quite lowish on the betting. I think he was like 25s or something. Mm. So there's obviously been a few quid put on him.
Yeah.
But I'd be surprised. I don't know. I personally think we should go for a foreign manager, but yeah, that's another debate for another time, I think.
So it's time for second round, up to the pitch. So I have to beat two.
You have to beat two, and I reckon you might. So the question is to name the top Premier League goal scorers from the start of the 2009 to 2010 season to the end of last season. Ooh. So over that 6-year period, start of 2009-10 season to the end of the 2015-16 season. I've got the top 10 answers in front of me, but what is it with? It's, what is it, five guesses you've got?
Five guesses, Aguero.
Sergio Aguero scored 79 goals, which puts him third place.
Ooh. So since 2009.
Yeah, 2009-10 season.
Oh, God. De Drogba?
No, he's not there. It's a little bit earlier, I think.
Yeah. Harry Kane?
No, afraid not. Too late.
Too late?
Well, he didn't score.
Right, I'm going to have to think about it. I've got two more guesses. Wayne Rooney?
Yeah, he's joined top with another player with 105 goals. So, this is for the win.
For the win. Frank Lampard?
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's 3 points to you. Frank Lampard scored 70 goals, and that puts him in fourth place.
Cool.
So, I've got the top ten in front of me, which I'll just tell you just for interest. Joint top were Rooney and Van Persie with 105 goals each. Sergio Aguero in third with 79, Lampard fourth, 70 goals. Luis Suarez, 69 goals.
Obviously.
In joint sixth place was Dimitar Berbatov and Carlos Tevez, both with 58 goals. still remember the season those two were tied for top goal scorer one year. but yeah, and they're tied in this leaderboard as well, 58 each. Daniel Sturridge got 55 goals. Darren Bent 53, and Yaya Toure on 53 as well to make the top 10. So yeah.
All right, I can't remember the last time I won a game.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Celebrating style.
Right, so we'll finish today with FanDuel. I really enjoyed doing it the last time, because at half time I was winning 20 quid. So I was keeping my eye on it the whole time. I was like, So FanDuel is designed for football fans using the Opta Index, so it's more not just about goals and assists and clean sheets, but every pass, interception, tackle will make a huge impact on the final points tally. So if you want to sign up using our promo code V2Football, as all one word, then FanDuel will return your entry fee as free credit if you don't win anything in your first contest up to £10. So how did you do last time? How did the 72 shares do last time?
Well, I didn't do... I wasn't winning £20 at any point. I didn't do so good. I was...
836 out of, what is it, about 1,200, is it? 1,308. 1,308, so I was in the third quarter, just about. So, not so good. What about you? Well, I finished with 218 points, and it was 690. But, you know, as I said, at half-time, I think I was winning about 20 quid, and at full-time, I was winning a tenner, I think. So I was getting really excited for the Sunday games. And then I just failed.
No, I do like it because it's more. It's better. I think it's better than fantasy football, as you say, because of the Opta stats. I think it makes it a bit more. It's a bit more skill because you're trying to think who's playing well rather than, you know, who's going to score a goal, and you know you're playing those defenders because you know they're going to get forward a lot and things like that. You know, the fantasy football tactics kind of go out the window. And it's a bit more. Yeah, I prefer it myself. It's I like it.
That's who the 72 show gone for this week?
So we've got Petr Cech in goal. We've got Bellerin, Van Dijk, and Mustafi in defence.
Yeah.
In midfield, we've got Son, Hunmin Son, Andros Townsend, Etienne Capoue, and Dusan Tadic. Up front, three strikers. Nolito, who I believe is back for City from his ban for the headbutt. Christian Benteke and the lovely Diego Costa.
I think we've picked a couple of the same players this time. I've gone for Pickford, Chambers, Smith, and Bailey. Even though it's not pronounced Bailey, is it? But you know what I'm talking about.
Bailey.
Yeah. Son Heung-min, Fer, Defoe, and Mane in midfield. And I've gone for Flaminio, Walcott, and Diego Costa up front. So I think it could be another. Could be quite close.
We've got a few of the same players, and I just want to improve on 836 and get some cash, to be honest. we'll see.
Right, so again, if you so you can sign up at fanduel.co.uk using the promo code V2Football, as all to one word, and you'll get a refund of your first entry fee if you're not a winner. It's available in the UK only for those over 18, and please play responsible and terms apply. So, is there anything else you want to chat about?
No. I think we've covered everything. There's not been a lot of stuff really going on because of the international break. I'm just looking forward to the normal domestics coming back, especially. It's Leicester Chelsea this weekend, isn't it?
There's three big games this week. There's also Man City Everton this weekend. So.
Aren't Everton they're in top four? I think they're like third or fourth.
Yeah, the guys in work like to remind me that they're above United at the moment.
Yeah, some very good games this weekend, then. So we'll have plenty to discuss next week.
Right, so, what happened on the 72 show this week?
I was joined by Nick Davey, and we had a chat about the football. So there's a few things. We as I mentioned earlier in the show, Neil Warnock. We've discussed his return. Steve Bruce likely. Well, at the time of recording, he was like. To come back to Villa, and now he's been confirmed as Villa boss. There's a new scheme as well. We had a chat about the EFL Futures scheme. So it's
it sounds very interesting. That
the Football League have set up a thing where basically for playing homegrown English players, you can get 750 grand. They've put that aside for the next 3 years. So 2.25 million over 3 years. It's clubs who play homegrown players. So we had a chat about that.
Which is a huge amount of money for play it's like a League Two club.
Yeah, but I've got a couple of issues with it because I think there's two things really. One is I don't think it's the Football League's responsibility to be developing English players. I think I think the Premier League should be doing more. I don't think the Premier League does enough. And the other thing is I think if a manager's under pressure. The problem is managers in general don't get enough time, and if a manager's under pressure, he's not bothered about playing homegrown players. He wants to play the best team today that he's got in front of him, I think. It comes back to another argument, whether managers get enough time, and you know, apart from Paul Tisdale at Exeter, none of them really have been there that long, and that's the other argument. We had a good chat about that. Worth listening to. I hope I've sold it well.
Yeah, there's no Ash and Al podcast this week because hopefully we'll be back next week. There's also no Academy this week. Hopefully we're in talks, Stavon. We're getting a guest on, and hopefully we'll be back next week. Follow us on Twitter at VT Football and like us on Facebook. Good night.
Good night.